Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Welcome to another edition of the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Throughout history, infectious diseases have posed a major threat to human health, and their impact continues to be an important health concern today. As economies and societies around the world have become increasingly interdependent, responding to infectious diseases such as the 2009 H1N1 influenza A virus and other emerging and re-emerging infectious diseases has taken on a new critical importance. With us today to discuss his efforts in this area is our very special guest, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. Dr. Fauci, welcome to our show. It's a pleasure having you today.
It's good to be here.
Also joining us today is Tom Romeo, IBM's Public Sector General Government Industry Leader. Tom, welcome back. Good to have you.
Thanks, Al.
Dr. Fauci, before we get started, could you provide us with an overview of the history and the mission of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases?
Yes. The National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases was formally established in 1948, but actually, historically, it really is the institute that really stands for the origin of the NIH in general. It was a public health service hospital that was run by the United States Public Health Service in Staten Island back in the late 1800s. And from that, what it did was essentially screen people who were landing on Ellis Island, and if they had any illnesses, they would come in and either be quarantined or would be treated for it. Over many years, it evolved such that it then became one of the institutes of the NIH. And the mission statement is to understand the causes of and to develop the research agenda, both basic and clinical, to develop preventions, diagnoses, and treatment for both infectious diseases and diseases of the immune system, hence the designation, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, because we're interested both in infectious diseases and immune-mediated diseases.
Now, this is a very broad mission that you just described. So can you give us a few more details in terms of the scale of the operations within the organizations, perhaps how it's organized, size of the budget, number of employees, and your geographical footprint?
Yes. Well, first of all, it's the second largest institute at the National Institutes of Health, which has 27 institutes and centers. We're very close behind the National Cancer Institute. Our budget is about $4.8 billion per year, funded through the federal government and as part of the Department of Health and Human Services. We have a number of divisions that are devoted to the various disciplines and sub-disciplines. We have a program called the Intramural Research Program, which comprises about 10 to 11% of our activities, both in resources and manpower, where research is done mostly on the NIH campus in Bethesda, Maryland, and we have a satellite campus in the Hamilton, Montana, in the Rocky Mountains. That's a historic campus that was originally studying Rocky Mountain spotted fever many decades and decades ago. We have about 1,800 full-time equivalents or permanent positions. We also have a number of contractors and fellows that come in to give a total workforce of about 3,500 to 3,600 people. So it's a rather large organization. The divisions are the Division of Microbiology and Infectious Diseases, which obviously studies microbiology and infectious diseases. We have a division of AIDS, since AIDS is such a major component of what we do. And we have a division of allergy, immunology, and transplantation. Also, as I mentioned, 10% of what we do are researches that are actually federally federal employees who are either in Bethesda or in Hamilton, Montana. The other 90 or 88% of what we do are grants and contracts that go mostly to universities throughout the country and the world to fund what we call extramural investigators. And these are people who are fundamentally associated with university hospitals, medical centers, who use government grants to do the basic and clinical research that is done as part of the totality of what we do. So it's about 10 or so percent by scientists that are employed right here, and close to 90% in grants and contracts that go out to the outside investigators.
Great. Dr. Fauci, with that overview, could you tell us a little bit more about your specific responsibilities as a director of NIAID, and also a little bit about the composition of the research portfolio? You mentioned the organizations. Maybe talk a little bit about the research portfolio.
Sure. My responsibility as the director is to have the overall administrative and scientific oversight and execution of the mission of the Institute. I'm involved in essentially making the scientific directions and making sure that the quality control is what it should be, and making sure that we fulfill our mission. I am the officer, as it were, the CEO. If you were looking at this as a corporation, I would be the CEO of the corporation. I have very good people that work with me, budget people, operations people, people who run the various divisions that are responsible for the science. So that's my responsibility. When you talk about a little bit more details of what we do in the programs, for example, the Division of Microbiology and Infectious Diseases is responsible for funding the research associated with the study of all microorganisms, the development of vaccines, the development of therapeutics, antivirals and antibacterials, and understanding the pathogenesis of disease. Some examples of that are malaria, tuberculosis, neglected tropical diseases, childhood diseases, measles, mumps, polio, all the things that we have vaccines for now, and the development of vaccines for things that were just recently developed, namely Haemophilus influenza B vaccine, streptococcal vaccine, staphylococcal vaccines, etc. The other issue is that we have a special division for HIV/AIDS, so we do work on the pathogenesis, the diagnosis, the treatment, and hopefully the development of a vaccine for HIV/AIDS. And we also do work on transplantation, asthma, allergy, and immune-mediated diseases. Most of the immunology, not all, but most of the immunology research is funded out of NIAID with some contribution from other institutes. And then, as I mentioned, the intramural research program, we have two major intramural research programs. One covers multiple disciplines from infectious diseases through immunology, and those are the investigators who are working there on campus or in Hamilton, Montana. And then we have the Vaccine Research Center, which was established first to develop an HIV vaccine, but has also now gotten involved in influenza vaccines, Ebola vaccines, and vaccines for anthrax and other microbes.
Great. So, Dr. Fauci, I've heard that you are known for putting in some incredible work hours. So maybe you could take us through a typical work day and also mention what you feel the top three challenges facing you in your position are.
Well, my work day is indeed chock full. I've been doing that for a long, long time. I've been director of the Institute now. I will have been director this coming winter for 25 years. And I work 7 days a week, not the same amount every day. I work during the week and on Saturday. I usually go in, get in before 7, get up around 5, get into the office between 6:30 and 7. And I'm there usually until about 8 o'clock at night, take about an hour off in the middle of the day to run. And then the rest of it is meeting with scientists, reading, developing protocols, reading the literature, having a bunch of administrative meetings that are responsible for making sure the Institute is on the right direction of where what we should be doing. I also run my own lab. I don't go into the lab and work with test tubes or pipettes myself, but I have a small group of postdoctoral fellows who've been working with me for years that turn over a bit, and we do fundamental research. basic research on the pathogenesis of HIV disease. And I also see patients 2 days a week on rounds at the NIH Clinical Center, which is a big research hospital right in the middle of the NIH campus. So it's really divided into administrative meetings, fundamental basic research, clinical research, and a lot of reading, examining, and analyzing data and programs.
That's great. 25 years is an incredible run. I'm curious, how did you get started and what brought you to NIAID? And if I may, what's compelled you to stay and serve under now would be your fifth president?
Well, I first came to the NIH back after my internship and residency in internal medicine. I trained at the New York Hospital Cornell Medical Center, and I wanted to do a fellowship in a combination of immunology and infectious diseases. At that time, human immunology was still in its infancy as a discipline, but it was very exciting. I also was very interested in infectious diseases and its impact on global health, came to the NIH, did a 3-year fellowship in combined infectious diseases and clinical immunology. In fact, I have my boards in actually 3 specialties, internal medicine, infectious diseases, and clinical immunology and allergy, even though fundamentally I'm a clinical infectious disease person who looks at immunological research related to the host-microbe interaction. And I did that starting after my chief residency, came down here and worked my way from being a senior fellow to a senior investigator to a laboratory chief. And then in 1984, I became the director of the institute. So it was fundamentally my love for and excitement about infectious diseases. And your question about why I've stayed there for 25 years as the director and even more so as a member of the NIH team is that what I'm doing is very exciting, and it constantly changes. When I first came there, there were people who were saying that the era of infectious diseases was over and that we should be concentrating our resources on chronic diseases since we have vaccines and therapeutics and diagnostics and things like that. Well, that statement could not have been more incorrect, because not too soon after I got there, HIV came upon the scene, which really transformed my professional life, my personal life, and everything that I did, because that was my area of research, as well as one of the most important areas of the institute that I was soon to become the director of. So it was a constellation of events that occurred that got me where I am and keeps me where I am.
Well, you certainly sound excited about it. Now, I also understand that you were recently selected by U.S. News and World Report, the Center for Public Leadership, and the Kennedy School of Government at Harvard as one of America's best leaders. From your perspective, what are some of the key characteristics of an effective leader? And this is a bit of a loaded question, but to what extent does the art of persuasion and being faithful to one's principles factor into your view of a successful leader?
Well, I think they're critical, the art of persuasion as well as sticking to your principles. A leader must lead by example. You have to understand the subject and the terrain in which you're trying to lead, and you have to show that you are doing the leading and you're a part of the process as opposed to telling people what to do. You've got to get them to feel that they have an investment in it. You've got to persuade them that this is something that's important, that's exciting, and they're doing it not because you're pushing them to do it, because they really do want to do it. And I think that's the secret of a leader in the arena of persuading somebody to get very, very much involved. With regard to principles, you have to set up a fundamental group of principles, particularly in the arena of science, because science is uncompromising. It's trying to get to the truth. It's trying to understand and get knowledge of things that would ultimately, in the biological sciences, help humanity. So you can never compromise your scientific principles. If you do that, first of all, you're not worth much, and you're going to wind up getting yourself in trouble.
That's great. What about the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases' response to the 2009 H1N1 influenza? We will ask Dr. Anthony Fauci, its director, to share with us when the conversation about healthcare continues on the Business of Government Hour.